Okay, so now it should be recording. Gallery view.
It looks like I'm not.
There we go. Now I see it.
Okay, it looks like it's just the four of us so far.
Yeah.
So welcome. It is Friday, December 4th at 1:05 p.m. This is a meeting of the Kensington Fire Protection District Finance Committee. And we're holding the meeting by Zoom. I will call the meeting to order. The Finance Committee is myself, Julie Stein, and Don. You're muted, Don.
Oh, Don. Let's see.
Me.
There we go.
Okay, I'm here.
Oh. All right. Sorry for looking sideways at everything. I don't have the agenda printed out. So we do have, looks like, so we, our interim general manager, Mary Morris Mayorga, is here, and our associate general, deputy general counsel, Rachel Hunley, is here. And we have two members of the public so far. So let's go to the public and see if there's any public comment on items that are not on the agenda. All right, I don't see any hands raised.
No.
So our first order of business is to approve the minutes of the August 27th Finance Committee meeting.
Yes.
And Don, did you have any?
No, I think not. No comments.
I was fine. Yeah, I was fine with the minutes too.
Okay.
So I think they're ready to go.
Okay.
The consensus.
All right. Good.
Okay, then the next, now I'm going to have to keep flipping back and forth. Next item of business, we have three discussion items. The first one is the general manager's timesheets and reimbursements. So let's go first to Mary's. Mary, we have your timesheets for the middle of August, September, October, and through November 31st?
Through November 30th, yeah. Last minute came back.
Yeah. So one thing I wanted to say, Mary, is I like, you know, the last time we met, I asked if you would be able to think about a way to not only report your hours, but kind of show how you're spending your time programmatically.
Right. Uh-huh.
So I really like how you did that.
Huh.
Thank you for that. I feel like it gives the district a lot of data. When we have to kind of come down to planning and what, you know, how does the general manager spend their time and how much do the various activities take of the general manager's time? To me, we could go back over this and easily do some analysis. So I think it helps a lot. my voice is a little on the weak side today. So thank you.
Certainly.
And I also noticed that you stayed within the time limits of your contract for every period.
Yes.
So that means that the Finance Committee, as long as we're comfortable with the scope of how you spent your time, we're just basically authorized to approve your timesheet according to policy 130 that has been adopted this year.
Yes.
So Don, did you have any comments about Mary's timesheets?
He's muted. There we go. You were muted, Don.
You want me to say, she did a good job. I'm happy with that.
Oh, thank you.
So so I guess we can just pass your timesheets through with no comment, no need to refer them to the board. Let's see if we have any public comment on Mary's timesheets. Not seeing any. Okay, then moving ahead to our new general manager's timesheet. So just for the record, to remind anybody who might be watching this video, So Bill Hansel is our new general manager, but he asked to not officially take charge until January 1st, which is why we have both a general manager and an interim general manager. And but Bill was authorized to start doing some work to basically transition into being general manager. So I would like to refer Bill's timesheets to the full board at our meeting next week.
Okay.
And but I'd like to see what Don thinks. Do you have any comment, Don?
No, I think that seems appropriate. I mean, given like Janice's interest in having a look at that, so that seems fine.
Okay. Simple enough.
I will do that.
Oh, let's see if there's any public comment on that decision.
I don't see any.
I don't either. So Rachel, I think that was all that we may have needed you for this time.
Until 2:15.
Yeah, sounds good. And I'll be back at 2:15. And if Mary could email me if that schedule changes, but I'll be literally sitting here working.
Okay. Sounds good.
We'll finish this pretty quickly.
All right. See you in an hour.
Okay.
Thank you.
I was wondering if you guys, would you guys mind if we went first to the task list for the transition of the general manager? Because that sort of seems like maybe an easier one to get through, and then do the public safety building cost estimates. Is that okay with you, Don?
Yes.
All right. So I wasn't totally sure that I understood the way the plan is presented, Mary. Would you be able to walk us through it and possibly, well, if you shared your screen, would you have all that strange screen?
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
Okay.
I'm not sure what the problem is. So I'm sorry about that. That's why I'm not visible. My video is acting up. But I can walk through it. I think that will probably work.
Yeah, maybe if you could just walk through it, and then I might have a couple of things that I have specific questions about. And I also think that this might, for me anyway, inform the content of our special meeting at 2:15.
Okay.
It might help me put it in better perspective when I understand this transition plan better.
Okay, sounds good. Well, I put together a summarized transition plan, which really kind of goes through the different areas and lists basic tasks that we need to put into place or to complete in order for Bill to be taking over general manager. There's a lot of other little things that go into it as far as reviewing processes, et cetera, but I put the major components to make sure that I get that information to him. So just kind of walking through it, we first started with new hire forms and documents. The district didn't, well, because the district hasn't really hired anyone since they hired me. And so when I was hired, there weren't any kind of new hire paperwork or forms. So I put those all together. They're centralized on the shared drive on the district's computer so that it's easy for any new employees after this time to know which documents are required by the state and federal to be given to an employee, and then what those that are required for them to be added to payroll. So I have that in the administrative manual as far as what's the steps that are needed, and then the documents are there. So we've got that part completed. He's in the process. I think Nerd Crossing was a little behind because of the holiday and because we had a couple of new requests for authorization access to the computer, but they're establishing Bill's email and IT VPN connection. So he'll have that in place if they haven't done it already. And then as far as Mechanics Bank, so the challenge with Mechanics Bank has been, we initially put the paperwork in several months ago. When I called not long ago, they didn't show me as being authorized. So I sent the paperwork in again. And then I called, and they're really busy right now. So we have a call scheduled for Monday so that we can finalize getting him then added to the account, and then getting the bill pay added, And then at that time too, I can get a debit card form initiated for him. I didn't get one for me because of the timing. It was pretty short. And especially now it's not needed, but he'll have that. And then the county requires several different authorization forms for access with the investments group. They have a form and that can just be filled out and I'm authorized so I can sign off on that. The auditor controller just requires a letter and they'll actually require a new letter anyway because, well, I would assume because of a change in the finance committee. So we'll do that once we know what that is and include Bill. And then we have a list of websites and passwords that the district uses and those are on our shared drive. And then payroll authorization that I can request that he be added to the payroll. I don't need to have any other authorization since I'm already authorized to do that. And then as far as contacts, just general contacts, the board, legal counsel, he has all those. We got him introduced to Bill Lindsay and Walt Schold with the KPPCSD. And then we'll be making contact with the county. There's various departments that we work with. So I'll just be introducing him via email so that they'll know he'll be a contact person. And there's somebody in the accounts payable. There's someone in the treasurer's office, Department of Information Technology. We work on that with property tax billing reports and then the assessor for collection of the property taxes. And then for documentation, I've really worked to try to create a lot of documentation that wasn't in existence. So I kind of found things through trial and error when I started, but now there's a good solid administrative manual and there's a few more things I need to add through my time here. But it's pretty solid as far as the basic processes, the administration, how finance goes and flows, and then various other things related to the budget and all of the things that kind of happen on a regular basis. And then the action plan and updates that I already have, they're out there too. And then the final report that I'll be putting together, it's in various forms of, you know, kind of what the status of the district kind of was, what it, is now, what may be outstanding or something to consider, and then just where everything is so that there's, you know, everyone's aware of that. And then just the R drive, that's our shared drive. And that was really a little bit disorganized when I got here, but to me, at least it makes a lot more logical sense. It's organized into folders and topic areas. So I think it's a little bit easier to access documents and we save everything electronically to the extent we can. A lot was saved in paper before, but you know, with COVID that changed and I'm electronic, more electronic in nature anyway. So that really has helped. And then email, he has access to, or he will, if he doesn't already, have access to the general email, which has archived emails and conversations that are relevant if it's anything that might help him out later. And so that's all stored in Outlook and then Gmail for the for mine. That's how I access mine. Yeah, as I said, electronic files are pretty organized. They could probably be organized better, but now with Sasha here, she can start helping out with that. And I think that's the general list. And then of course we're going, you know, through processes and we've had a couple of talks. And so we'll be scheduling a few more conversations to kind of go through things. And once he has access, he can, you know, try getting into things and accessing them. And then if he has questions, we can kind of deal with it on a Zoom. So that's the plan.
What about that? I'm blanking on the exact name of it, but the trust for the the retiree health insurance, has he been oriented to that?
No, we haven't gone over that yet. As far as being authorized, the position is authorized, so he'll be okay there. I think the disbursement, I might have to add him to request disbursements unless that follows the same, but we'll go through that. It's pretty straightforward and they're really good about walking you through it. So we have a file with all the documentation on how it works, so he'll have access to that as well.
I guess I see that these are all things that you're doing and you know how to do, and you're getting him set up.
Yes.
But how far along is he on being able to independently do these things himself?
Well, we've just really started because we, you know, we're able to do the basic things that didn't require system access. So now that he's going to have that system access, we'll really be able to work on them. And I don't anticipate that they take a long time. For me, it wasn't really difficult to kind of get acclimated because much I was familiar with. So it's just a matter of when he gets in there and what he's familiar with. And then now he has good resources because Sasha's very familiar with the files and where things are located. And then we have the new finance accountant through Maze, Robert. He's picked up very well, so it's really helpful. But in the next couple of weeks, he'll really have the access to be able to get in there and do things. And I don't see any problems with it.
So I think my biggest concern has been the bank account, just because it was so time consuming to get anything done with the bank account. Yeah. So is Brenda finally off the bank account?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the part that, you know, when they didn't add me, I wasn't sure what happened with the documents. That's why I sent them in again. They were able to speak to me. So they have me on the account now, and it's just a matter of getting the other pieces refined. And I my understanding is that little branch has been kind of busy. So they haven't had the ability to get things done as quickly as we might want, but finally we've had success.
Yeah. So will Bill know? So my concern is when the finance committee changes, I assume it's going to change. Sure. I know that there had to be some thinking done about who would be the operators of the bank account at the very highest level, like the ones that are authorized to have the ATM card and all that. And then a next level down delegation of authority, and they never exactly did it this way, would be like the check signers.
Yeah.
So in theory, every time you change finance committee, you'd probably just change the check signers. Like, do you have an organization plan laid out for how the bank account should be set up in a more perfect world?
Nothing very formal, but as far as signatures, we'll have to update the signature form for the new committee members and for Bill. And as far as how things would work, it would really essentially be the same that the finance committee, because we have this in policy, one of the two members could sign and then the general manager could sign, or both members of the finance committee could sign if he weren't available. So we'll lay that all out in the administrative manual as well.
And then we need new board resolutions in January. It's kind of a catch 22, right? Without knowing who the finance committee is going to be, you can't really execute the board resolutions. Because I don't think did we make that generic enough that we don't have to execute new resolutions whenever the people in the positions change?
Oh, right. Because we did it by position. So it's just a matter of changing the signature card.
Okay. Did you have any questions, Don?
No, I'm tracking it. Seems right.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm just curious, and maybe you can't answer it, but what's on my mind is how long it will take for Bill to be able to just kind of run everything 100% on his own with Sasha and the accounting firm. And that might be hard for you to say, but that's the question that's on my mind.
Yeah, that just depends upon how, you know, when he takes over officially, you know, how long it takes him to become familiar with everything. I mean, he's been running a district, not exactly similar, but somewhat similar. So I would imagine that a lot of these things he already is familiar with actually doing. So we'll just kind of know. That's why as we've gone through the last couple of weeks of this transition, it's really to make sure he's kind of aware of the things that come up which is why I keep him in emails and then invite him to meetings that maybe he wouldn't normally go to, so that he understands, you know, the kinds of things that he might face, and they might be all different when he takes over, but just to get him familiar with kind of the layout of how things go. So I, from talking with him, I don't see that there will be any issues. It's just a matter of, you know, once he fully takes over, if he has questions, he can always ask. Yeah. So we'll know in the next couple of weeks, we'll really know how that's going.
Yeah. I guess my concern is for his first period of recorded hours of 2 weeks, he spent 70% of his time on the public safety building and only, only 29% of his time on general administration. So I just would have thought that he'd be focusing, in order to be take this over from you and operate independently, that he'd be focusing almost exclusively on general administration, although I do understand that he needs to learn about the public safety building project too.
Right. Yeah, and over the next few weeks, as I said, you'll definitely see that he's going to be spending general administrative time going over these items and accessing the system now that he's got his access.
Okay. Any other questions, Don?
Yeah, I knew that he was doing something with the manager in the other agency, and we talked about it. But it seems to me, maybe especially given that he's just sliding into this, that we get a kind of a master plan or a schedule or something, so we can balance out how to, you know, get things, you know, all going in the right directions.
Yeah, because it's just going to be more expensive for the district if we have to go into the new year for any significant period of time with Mary providing a lot of support and also Bill working his full number of hours. So I think that this transition period, while his hours are supposed to be limited, it's important about how that time is actually spent.
Sure. I'd like to see in advance. That's what I was trying to get at. In other words, it's a master plan or a schedule that you've got the items all set up. So as you go through it, and then he can decide how he gets it spent, but we can look at it, I think, and say, well, we didn't think it was quite going to go that way.
You mean by something like by topic area and the amount of time that he would plan to spend on each topic area, something like that, Don?
Something like that. It's kind of a calendar. Let's say it's a calendar that he fills out.
Yeah. Well, just to let you know, my goal will be to make sure he has everything in his hands and possible to take over so that there won't be a lot of overlap in the new year.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that point was made. So do we have any comments from the members of the public who are listening in on the meeting?
I don't see any.
Okay. All right then. So Mary, trying to think of the best way to tackle the cost updates for the public safety building. I know that you've been publishing a lot of them.
Right.
And sometimes it's a little bit hard to absorb it all given the time frame in which we actually get the agenda packet. And then by the time we prepare everything else for the meeting, it's sort of a lot to absorb. Right. And I know that I feel like Don has had some questions and I don't have any way to even assess those questions. Would you be able to give us maybe like a high level overview and particularly some of the important figures? So I think we've clarified that if we're constrained to this funding model for construction due to our proximity to the earthquake faults. The construction cannot exceed 50% of the value of the existing building or the replacement cost. So if you could kind of just point to us specifically which figure is the construction cost figure right now, and maybe the cost of the temporary fire station. And I don't know if we have estimates of the soft costs or not, but maybe go ahead, John.
We did get one from MAC 5. They did give us a proposal. Mary, you got that, I think, Mary. It would be now a month or 6 weeks ago.
The project cost report that's included.
It would be their, no, the project, well, there it would be their fee to provide the service. They're making a proposal.
Oh, okay. So, oh, okay.
You should have it. If not, you can call up and get another one.
Yeah, okay.
And then as long as that, the architect, who's the big number, I think it's going to be in the 12 to 15% kind of area. And I think Mary had 12% on the budget she did. Might be a bit, little bit light, but you know, it's sort of in the right neighborhood.
Yeah, and his suggestion was 10%, but then 15% if that would allow. If your budget would allow, just because of kind of the unknowns.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. I mean, typically new construction is about 10%. And renovation is higher because you're dealing with an old building. You've got things coming up that you hadn't expected. And so it's a more management problems. It's not so easy. Yeah. So it 15% is not unusual. So 10% doesn't seem like quite enough.
Okay.
And I think, you know, you might put something in the middle and then we can fix that up as we go further along.
Yeah. So in his initial budget here that I have attached, he has the 10% included, but if, well, let me step back a little bit. So the first kind of important figure right now is the replacement cost of $8.284 million. The 50% is then $4.142 million. So when we look at his budget cost or project cost report, he's got construction at $5.1 million, but that includes the contingency, and it also includes, well, so the 4.5 is the estimate without the elevator. So we know already that that number of 4.579 has to be adjusted to that 50% threshold.
Yeah.
So this is just, yeah. So this is just the estimate based on, you know, whatever original plans he did, and including escalation factors for construction cost. So that number would have to fall within the 4.142 million. The one thing he did tell me is that when you get to the point of renovation, that replacement cost would be updated for the construction cost inflation indexes. So it could be slightly higher depending upon when the district went to actually do a renovation. But
That's true.
Yeah. It wouldn't be significantly higher, but it could be somewhat higher.
Yeah. So there's one thing I remember in the budget you did, that when we did that estimate where we were working with the 4 point, you know, the 50%, we included a lot of contingency, like maybe 30% of that is contingency. Because we were, you know, we don't have enough information to really make a very accurate estimate. So we loaded it very high contingencies. So you don't have to add $1 million on top of that. You can take that away for the time being.
And you're talking about the project contingency he has listed?
The one you did, you just added $1 million. And I'm saying it's accounted for in some way. And I'd rather have them managing that than us coming along and adding numbers. That I don't think that's a very good way.
Yeah, and I actually got that initial estimate from him, which is why then we asked for a better project cost estimate, which is the one that's included.
Okay.
Because it seemed like I was getting estimates kind of a little bit back and forth. So I really wanted something that was a little bit more concrete.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have that, but he did say that the contingency it could be higher than it needs to be, but it's only because the project hasn't really been fully vetted and developed, especially also including the temporary facility. So it's just allowing for that. So that could definitely decrease.
Yeah. And then, okay. Then there was one other thing while we're there that okay. when you ran the number of the 50%,
right.
You took the cost estimate, which was 4.37 or something. So it skewed the soft costs. You missed taking the four, you put in 4 point something.
Okay.
$400,000 or something. Uh-huh. So it skewed it. So you just have to change the Excel and take that one away.
Okay.
I think at this point it's not worth spending a whole lot of time second guessing what the cost might be, because sure. we don't have anything to do any better. So
exactly.
Next estimate would be about schematics, and that would still be pretty light, but we would have gotten some information from the engineers. That probably will give us some adjustment there.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Yeah. Now that we have this, we can definitely hold on, you know, because as he mentioned, that the project hasn't fully been developed or vetted. What we really wanted was kind of an order of magnitude.
Right. Right. They wouldn't let you call it a budget actually, or an estimate. They would say it's a budget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
that's fair.
Still high on contingency, but at least it gives an idea of a lot of the factors that are involved.
Yeah. It doesn't really start to get very accurate until you're probably about 75% through. So the major stuff is done. You're down to doing details and things. So at that point, you've got you have a pretty good idea of what it should cost.
Yes. Okay.
And it's not worth estimating much in between, because what happens is the architects do all the base drawings, get all the things set, and the engineers are running behind them. So even at 50%, you don't have good data.
Okay, thank you.
So I guess I haven't been as deeply involved in this as you guys have. So my questions are still a little higher level.
Okay.
So could you remind me, Mary, the replacement cost right now is showing at $8,284,000.
Yes.
Is that just to replace the building as it is? In other words, it doesn't factor in an elevator. And if we have to have the elevator, then will that increase the replacement cost, the denominator of the equation?
Right. And so this 8.284, you're correct. It does not include the elevator. And my understanding is that it will increase that, but I'd have to find out specifically. But my understanding is it would, because it doesn't include that currently.
Yeah, I got a cost from them of $500,000. I was shocked.
Yeah.
But I think, again, you just write it in because you know, it's not worth arguing about. So I would just put in $500,000, and then you'll have to add it to the replacement at the same time.
So the estimate for the elevator is approximately $500,000.
That's what I got, and I was surprised. But again, it's not worth arguing because
we don't really know yet.
We haven't gotten that far, so.
Okay, and so
there's kind of it's not worth worrying about this. What if they're right or wrong when it's early until you get enough to do? There are people that go along and will. Complain that something is too high, you know, the framing is too high. And you know, what happens is, if you look at this, if you look at a chart, there, all these different elements are either plus or minus. So you don't come on a clip off anything that looks too fat, because there's something over there behind that's too skinny. So anyway,
okay.
Later on, we'll get into that, I suppose.
Okay.
And will Mac 5 be the ones doing that?
Yes.
Yeah, they do it. And then we don't figure, we don't play around. We don't change their work. That's what I was trying to say. And we can talk a lot about it. Again, you know, later on, we can talk about it and debate it if we need to.
Mary, you haven't changed Mac5's work, have you?
No.
No, I'm not accusing of her doing that.
No. So what I had done earlier, before I actually got this report, was just to provide a budget estimate in a table in a staff report. And some of the contingency took into account the things that he has listed out more specifically now. But I was just trying to provide a order of magnitude, kind of a cost estimate. So when I, you know, kind of varying figures on contingency, that's when I asked for this report. So it's much more helpful and it's broken out further. So okay. That's what I think Director Dahmer's
I don't have that in front of me, but I think one thing that would make it easier, I mean, the citizens are used to that, the numbers we gave them way back when. Mm-hmm. And so when you added in the temporary, it skewed the numbers and they then saying, well, where did all that come from? So if we take the temporary and take it out and it's just another element, but it's not mixed in with the building specifically.
Sure.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and I hadn't even been aware that the temporary, I mean, back a couple months ago, I hadn't been aware that it was quite so high.
Yeah, the number what they gave us a long time ago was $1 million. Again, I was in shock, but I'm not arguing it.
Yeah, because that's an unknown so far, because they need to do a scope on that as well.
Yeah.
So, sorry, Mary, I'm just going to ask you, you might have said this already. So here you're showing that the estimate or budget, whatever you want to call it, without the elevator in July is $4,579,000.
Correct.
But then I think you mentioned earlier today and in one of the presentations that the construction cost was $5,179,000 or something like that.
Something like that. I'm not remembering, but yeah, it was in that ballpark.
Yeah. So they actually, when they listed this out, included construction unrelated costs being contingency. So that you would just pull out, because the contingency for purposes of when the district went to file permits is not required to remain within that 50%, because you don't know that that's actually going to happen. So the contingency would come out of that. That's why that number looks higher.
So that number includes contingencies, but it's not a number we should be thinking about right now. We should be thinking at about $4,579,000 plus $500,000 for the elevator.
Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe later on we'll put the contingency on the bottom, but we were just trying to take the elements and just throw a number at it and breaking it down a bit.
Yeah, so you're correct, Julie.
So it's actually not that much different when you add the elevator in. It puts it over about close to $5.1 million.
Right.
Yeah.
So it looks like, and then if the bottom goes up, so it's like $5.1 million. And then if the denominator goes up $500,000, it'll be about $8.8
million. Yep.
And as we say, there may be, you know, a little bit of excess contingency in there. So that's something to consider.
Yeah. And this is just an aside, but Mallory found out that there was all this conversation with the audience. We're saying, well, what happens if you go over? Mm-hmm. And they don't care. I mean, once you get the building permit, they're done. They don't care. They're not interested in the numbers of the cost at all.
Yeah,
that's that just seems like common sense, right? Yeah. I mean, you couldn't have a constantly fluctuating sense of whether you can do a project like that or not at some point.
Yeah. So that was fine, because we didn't know, so it was a little bit scary, and that's why we put big contingencies in there, so we would have a little bit to work with.
Yeah, and then once you pull a permit, they can't stop work. I mean, at what point would they try to stop work if
Well, they're not. They're sorry, not. Yeah. In other words, they're not interested in the dollars after you went get the permit.
Once you give them your good faith estimate and they can verify where you came up with that. Yeah.
And they then have gotten their permit fee. They've got the check in the bank. So they're not much interested in the cost anymore.
So it looks like if you factor the elevator into the top and the bottom, we're presently at about 58%.
Okay.
So the 5.1 million has to come down to 4.4. Again, these are really high level figures, I understand.
Yes.
So approximately $700,000 would have to be carved out of the project.
Yes.
700 needs to be, I don't, how did we get that? I know we were over $300,000 or $400,000.
Well, what I did was I took the 4,579,000 and I added 500,000 to it for the elevator. So that gave me 5,079,000. I rounded that up to 5.1.
Okay.
And then I took the 8,284,000 for the replacement cost, and I added 500,000 to that. And so that brought the bottom up to 8.8. So I took 5.1 divided by 8.8, I got 58%. And then I said, what's 50% of 8.8? And that is 4.4. So I took the difference between 5.1 million and 4.4 million, and I got 700,000.
Okay.
Yeah, and it could be that some of that shifts at least a little when they do actual measurements and find out exactly what the construction drawings are going to be. But yes, they do have to remain in that 50%.
Yeah.
All right. And are we still roughly in the ballpark that approximately 25% of the usable space is going to be, with this option that's currently looked at, would be the KPPCSD and fire district would be at approximately 75?
I believe those are about correct. I don't have that number in my head.
I understand there's a higher demand for space than we're providing, but I don't know how to solve that. I mean, there's no more space to give away. In other words, the police chief is not happy with what he's getting. He wants more. And I don't have a solution for that.
Do you happen to know how much more he wants?
Yeah, but I'm not going to tell you because I'll tell you what, if you want to know more about it, ask Bill.
How do you come to know it?
He told me.
How does Bill know it? Bill Hansel? Bill Hansel?
Yes.
And why is he telling you and not anybody else?
I don't know that he's comfortable with what he's got in his hands at this point. So I'm not interested in throwing a number out that isn't necessarily true. So, he did have a meeting with the police and Bill.
So does this mean the building committee's been meeting with Bill Hansel then? That would probably help.
Yeah, and we talked, and he'd like to get Larry back in. He wants to, I guess this, committee thing. So I was going to call Larry and see if he's interested. Well, you can do that. If you're
still on the committee.
I don't know who's appointing what. I mean, did he leave? Is he coming back? I don't know.
No, Larry never resigned from the committee. He's still on the committee.
Oh, that's okay. Then,
yeah. I told Bill Hansel that because I wasn't quite clear of what his process was.
Well, I think he was probably repeating what you told him, so that's fine.
I just wanted to let you know, I see Bill joined in the attendees and he has his hand up. So since he is part of the meeting, I think I'm going to go ahead and...
That's fine. Yeah, I don't want to put... I'd rather have him do the talking on what he was up to.
All right. Let's see. Hi, Bill.
Hi. I'm sorry. I had a problem come up and sorry to be so late to this.
No problem at all.
I just caught a little bit of your conversation there.
Well, it was a little off topic. We were just generally, I was just running through the figures at a very high level because I haven't been as involved in the conversation about the budget. And so just, I'm just trying to understand it, that if I had to explain it in 5 minutes to someone, that I would have some high level working figures and how much we likely may have to reduce the construction costs to be able to pull this off. And I was also, I had just asked roughly the apportionment of usable space between the services district and the fire district. And we're sort of hovering at 2575. We know that that's not exact. Mary, I had another question. Well, wait, since I've gotten this far, do you have an estimate of the soft costs, such as how much the architect might charge us, an architect might charge us for construction drawings and permitting and all that, or is it too early to get those estimates?
So that, I mean, as far as the estimate, the MAC 5, he included that in his design planning and management. So it's all in there. We don't have the specific proposal from the architect because, as he explained it to me, what is important is kind of how we plan to use the building. And if we get that proposal too quickly, it could end up being outdated. So we don't have the specific number, but he's included in the, or architect is included in the design planning and management, which is 800,000, but that's not all the architect.
Okay, but that's kind of like a really high level estimate of what soft costs could be. And then are we still at, was it 984,000 for the relocating the fire services up to the Unitarian Church?
They have 974,000, and the MAC 5 did remind me that that's a pretty high level estimate as well. They need to know particulars to be able to pin that down closer.
Okay. Do you happen to know the cost of the decontamination chamber that's presently planned for the apparatus bay?
I do not know that.
I'll bet it's 10,000.
Is it? I was curious, please remember I don't work in this field.
Sure.
How would MAC 5 get the construction costs without sort of knowing those individual component costs? It seems like they had costs for windows and some of the more detailed elements of the building, but they haven't taken the decontamination chamber into account yet, or as far as you know anyway.
Yeah, as far as I know, unless they've included an estimate for it within the building.
Doesn't that have to be on a vibration isolation pad? I thought the one we saw at the El Cerrito station was on a concrete pad to isolate the vibration from the rest of the from the rest of the station.
Sort of a momentum kind of pan, so it doesn't shake.
Yeah, it's like your washing machine when the load's not balanced.
It's really what it is. It's just giant and powerful.
Yeah, exactly. Well, back to you, Don. Did you? I got a lot of my kind of high level questions answered. I just wanted to be able to have a simple thumbnail sketch of where we are right now, anyway. But did you have other things, Don, that you wanted to ask about or raise?
No, I think we've covered. We just need to get some work done, then we'll have more questions that we need to answer. So right now, I'm happy with where. I think the budget is getting cleaned up a little bit. We got now we have the elevator there. So that's where we are.
And I see a member of the public with their hand raised.
I do have two more questions and then happy to go to the public. For the construction costs right now, do we have an approximate breakout of how much of that is due to the seismic work versus the rest of the work?
We've not done that. You could do it. It's structural. There's demolition that would get added on to that. And there might be some changes in various parts of the building that would add more framing to it. I don't know. If you want, you could ask MAC5 to give you a breakout. I think it's almost all structural, but it's not. You have different elements in there. You have steel and you have wood and, so anyway, why don't you try them out? They'll be better than I am at this.
Getting an estimate for the structural and seismic, they might be able to, you think?
Yeah, and you're going to have to say it's everything around that. So it would be tearing the building apart. It would be doing the structural work. It would be putting it back together. And that won't necessarily be structural work. It'll be framing work. We're going to move windows. We're going to have to re-side it. So all of that will come from different cost estimates.
Okay. And then my last question, it's not related to the seismic, but just Mallory had given us a figure in September 2019, the threshold cost, if you're going to do anything at all, regardless of the kind of work, the threshold cost that kicks in the ADA requirements. And I thought he said $160,000, but I can't remember.
It's a cost of living increase, so I'm not up to date on it. Bill, yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm not sure what the question, I don't understand, Julie. Can you restate it?
Well, yeah, I was asking Mary if she knew, again, I'm no expert, but I've been actually reading the ADA website page, and they kind of talk about how when you exceed a dollar cost value of a certain amount of work, kind of regardless of what it is, that will trigger ADA accessibility upgrades. And I was wondering if anybody knew that dollar value.
I know that dollar value has gone up since the last time I looked at it. And because I used to know it was pretty stable for a few years and then it did go up, but it's a separate issue from, there's two separate thresholds. One would be you're doing a project of a limited amount of scope and you exceed that valuation threshold and you are compelled to have to implement accessibility standards. The other one that's really, I think the one that would apply here is the fact that if you are affecting more than 50%, more than half of the building physically, walls, ceilings, it's a thing that you, if it's close to 50% and you can play with the amounts, but every plan I've seen here has pretty definitively been affecting more than 50%, then you pretty much have to just comply with the current code, which is the 2019 code, which includes all the accessibility, egress, seismic issues. So, my understanding about looking at this so far is that just the fact that there's more than 50% of this building that's being affected means that the whole building will have to, the whole design will have to comply with all levels of accessibility and seismic and other aspects of the 2019 code, which it otherwise wouldn't have to either if you didn't exceed that threshold of affecting that much of the building. And this is a 50% is totally separate from the 50% valuation discussion. That's a different thing.
So is that based on, did they just look at sort of the square foot?
Well, when it was originally implemented, it was kind of a sort of a loose definition. And I personally have seen over the years that it's gotten tighter and tighter with different building departments where, it used to be that they just look at the number of walls that you might be affected. And if you were the owner, you could play with that to make it, appear that you were doing less. Building officials kind of copped on to that strategy and started to different departments kind of make you break it down. So it really, the intention is 50% means 50%, whether it's, you know, as I said, ceilings, floors, walls, windows. You know, once you're moving, once you're adding an elevator, once you're adding, taking the apparatus bay and installing a whole bunch of things there, once you're changing out all the windows, once you're moving all the walls around, if you're demoing the stair because it doesn't, because you're getting in, you're now above the threshold for the ADA stuff, so you'd have to do it anyway. You've pretty much exceeded the that level, and that would then kick in the, you know, full code compliance.
Thank you. All right, so we have a special meet. Our special meeting's at 2:15. Is that right, Mary? Yeah.
That's correct. Yeah.
So it's 2:00 right now, and we've had a hand up for a while. Yes. So could we call on Lynn?
Yes.
Hi, I just am sort of not perplexed, but am thinking about this 75-25% allocation of space, and am wanting to sort of go back to the Wayback Machine and try to understand how the first public safety building was paid for and how it was determined that the fire district would own the land and the building. In other words, was it the fire district that paid for everything, or was it the community that paid for everything with bonds?
I don't know if anyone here knows the answer. I don't know the answer to that, Lynn. Maybe Don knows.
I thought it was a bond issue that was floated by the community, but that's all I can guess. That's the best I could do.
The reason that I ask the question is because of the issue of intent. And my guess is that the intent of the community at the time was that this would be a building that would house both fire and police. I understand that because of time, of space constraints and changing codes, that may no longer be possible, but I don't think it ever was the intent that the police department would be kicked out of this building. It's not as though the fire district likely alone paid for the property, paid for the building. My guess is that it was a bond that was paid for by the community.
That's the way people seem to understand it.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lynn. Let's see. Any other hands up?
No other hands.
All right. Well, have we completed our agenda?
Let's see. We did, unless we want discussion of future agenda items.
Oh, well, I think we don't know who's going to be on the finance committee in the future, so we might as well let that one go.
Okay.
Where's the agenda? You know, at some point I don't know when it could be prepared, but I'd love to just kind of see a pie chart of, you know, here's the total construction cost. This slice is either all of the accessibility, or this slice is the elevator. This slice is the rest of the upgrades that are required by accessibility. If possible, this slice is the seismic, and then another slice just related to improving the function. Mm-hmm. I don't know at what stage we could do that, if we have enough information now, and I'm not asking you to do it, but I feel like bringing it up to a really high level all in one visual would, I think, give people a little bit better sense of the, you know, how the costs are allocated across the project.
The estimates, if I may, the estimates can be, you know, created at any time. Their reliability is based upon the scope of the drawings, obviously. So the more reliable the drawings outline exactly what's going to happen, the more reliable the estimate is, and therefore the breakdown of the cost. So,
Well, and of course, once you show something like that, people, it gets fixed in their mind. Just like even showing the conceptual drawings before they're finished, it still gets kind of fixed in people's minds. So
yeah, and you should know, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, so you'd only want to do that when we thought we were honing in on something reasonably reliable.
You should be aware that strategically too, in terms of you know, the public bid process, that as you develop estimates, they also become records that relate strategically, I think, to your planning of public bidding. So, you know, for example, in another building here in my area, we were careful about how many estimates we produced prior to public bidding, because we didn't want that to become sort of a benchmark in a false benchmark that did that sort of belied the market rates of what we were going to see in the actual bids. We didn't want things to be pushed down artificially, which by the bids, which then could come back to haunt us in terms of, you know, change orders or incentives to sort of find more money. You know, it can get a little bit, you're obviously are making all that stuff public, including to the people who are bidding upon it, who might be incentivized in a good way or a bad way. So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Any further comment, or should we take a 10-minute break before we come back?
I have nothing further.
I don't see any hands raised. So we're going to be using the same webinar. Is that right, Mary?
That's correct.
So Don and I can just turn off our cameras, yes, and turn off our sound for a few minutes, and then come back at 2:15.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't need much time. We're going to get a glass of water.
Oh, did yeah. We officially?
The problem is we just can't start early.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Mary?
We officially adjourn. I don't know if I heard you say that or not.
Oh, I didn't, because I thought we finished the agenda.
Oh, okay.
I've always been told we don't have to adjourn if we finish the agenda, but let's adjourn.
I'm just used to those continued meetings.
Yeah. I think we disposed of the idea. Don, did you have any future agenda items you wanted to put?
No, I think not.
Yeah, I think whoever the next finance committee is, they'll figure that out.
Sounds good. All right, I'll see you at 2:15.
Okay, so we'll leave this running, but cameras off. And
shall we leave? Off. I'm sorry. We should log off and log back on, or just
you don't have to. Okay.
We could just leave this webinar running, but I'm going to turn my camera and my microphone on.